President Zelensky said in an interview that Putin is only afraid of one thing, not a country, the Russian people. Let's find out if Joseph Lindsley agrees with that assessment. Joe, hi to you. I don't know if you had a chance to see that whole interview, but it was pretty interesting, I thought.
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from Odessa. And it's an interesting idea. I mean, I don't know if he really, Putin can be afraid of the Russian people in a sense, because they have tolerated all of his wars of aggression, not just right now, but, you know, going back to Russian operations in Syria and in Georgia. And so I don't know. I think most Ukrainians probably on the face of it would not agree with that idea. And it seems that Putin is, I mean, we see this, and if you look in the, I mean, right now, the Ukrainian military is in Kursk, Russia. For more than a month, the Ukrainians are on Russian soil. And there's no outcry in Russia. You see a little bit on sort of Russian military blogs, you know, people are angry at Putin. But generally, there's no outcry. And the Russians just kind of shrug their shoulders, even as they did, like, the Russians on Russian soil where Ukrainians, where the Ukrainian military is, there's no resistance. I think, and this is what you see, and I think a lot of Americans really still don't appreciate this, you know, for all of our, you know, memory of the, you know, fight against communism, like all the movies and everything from the 1980s about standing up to communists. We forgot what that was and what that was about and how much that the communist ideology destroyed culture and religion and really the will to think independently. And I think Russia still, I think we see the fruits of that. Russia still suffers from that, and that people don't know how to, they don't want to be free even. They don't even know what it is. And that's one reason why Ukrainians do not want to live like Russians. They insist on being free. And I feel that very deeply here in Odessa, which, you know, as we've talked about, this is a Russian-speaking city. It's becoming less so because people are really trying to speak Ukrainian as an act of defiance. But this is, you know, it's a Russian-speaking city, and that's not, you know, that's their language, but they want to be free. They don't want to be controlled by the Kremlin or anyone else. And with so many people with whom I've spoken throughout Ukraine, including here in Odessa and then talking to people around the country, the mood right now is really sad, I have to say, because it's, I think it's becoming abundantly clear that those in power in Washington do not want Ukraine to win. We see the prime minister and the foreign minister of the United Kingdom went to Washington. They met in the White House with President Biden. And last week, you know, we were talking quite optimistically. Oh, maybe the Washington will finally get permission for the United Kingdom to send British-made weapons to Ukraine to use on Russian soil. And the White House said no. I mean, so far, it looks like that permission that we talked about last week is not going to happen. It's been a growing realization for many people here, but now it's abundantly clear that those in power in Washington do not want Ukraine to win. And then the question is it because they're afraid of Russia? Or maybe they're the ones that are afraid of Putin, not the Russian people. Maybe it's not Putin, it's not about Putin being afraid of the people. It's about Washington being afraid of Putin's threats, perhaps, or maybe it's money, oil money. But I will say the mood is very dark and heavy here, and then it's compounded by this news today or from yesterday. The guy who tried to assassinate President Trump, he was in Ukraine in 2022, and the Russian propaganda pushed it. And even Trump's son tweeted, "Oh, of course, the guy that tried to kill his father was a pro-Ukraine guy. That he came to Ukraine to fight with the International Legion." And the Russians immediately ran with this, and they were saying, "Ah, look, you know, if you support Ukraine, you hate Trump, and you want him to be dead," and all that sort of rings a bit hollow. And so everyone here in Ukraine is scrambling to say, "Who was this guy? Did anyone know this guy?" And I can't find anyone who actually knew him well at all. The International Legion. I was talking with people who the leaders of the International Legion. He never was part of it, and you know, it reminded me, Bob, of those first chaotic, crazy weeks when I first started talking to you in 2022. There were, you know, Ukraine was begging for help. They needed, you know, Washington did not give any weapons back then, and they welcomed foreign fighters. And you had all kinds of people showing up. And, you know, Ukrainians and like the good Americans who I already knew, after a few weeks, you could tell who was a complete fake. And there were a lot of people that came here. Maybe they had no other purpose in life. They thought this, you know, they're kind of like snake oil salesmen. They thought this was an opportunity to prove themselves. And there were Russian spies. The Russians, as we've seen, the Department of Justice revealed that Russians were paying a lot of money to influencers in American media. And all they have to do is find someone who's like down on their luck and pay them a lot of money and get them to come here. And it's easy. You can just walk right into Ukraine. And it seems more and more that this guy, Ryan Louth, I think his name was, who tried to shoot President Trump, that he fits in that category. But no one who was fighting for Ukraine respected him. The few people that did know him said he was one of these people only pretending to help. So he definitely was not on Ukraine's side.
Very interesting perspective on what we're hearing about that man this morning. Joe, every time I read about these prisoner swaps, and Ukraine and Russia completed a couple of major swaps in the last few days, every time I hear that news, I think, well, maybe this is like the opening to some kind of further negotiations to end the war. But I guess it doesn't have anything to do with those talks, does it?
No, and there's a lot of frustration. I mean, if you look at those prisoner swaps, I encourage people to look it up. Look at the photographs of the Ukrainians released from Russian captivity who are emaciated. They look like they've been in the Holocaust. And then look at the Russian prisoners returned from Ukraine to Russia. And they're well-fed and taken care of. And the International Committee, the Red Cross, is silent about Russia. They're not permitted to examine Ukrainian prisoners within Russia. And there's a lot of frustration with the Red Cross. They can be very critical of everyone else, but they're not critical of Russia. And they're not taking care of Ukrainian POWs within Russia. I think the photographs tell the whole story.
Yes, they do. Interesting. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, thanks for taking us behind the headlines again, Joe.
Until tomorrow, Bob. Thank you.